gratitude is an important spiritual discipline that blesses the heart of God and benefits the people of God.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Well, folks, it's been quite a year, hasn't it? So we started off, of course, early in the year with the COVID and the shutdown and all that that meant, all the changes that have occurred. Remember, we started off last year, we were talking about this 2020 vision. Here was this idea of what did we want to do in the church? What was the vision? What was God's vision for our church in 2020 and beyond? And we talked about that. We prayed about that. I got some lots of great feedback from you. We put together some thoughts, and boy, I couldn't wait to start rolling this out, our 2020 vision. And then what happened? 2020 happened, right? And everything that meant. So we're kind of on hold with some of that stuff for right now. But I have every confidence we will come back to it. But things are going to be a little bit different, though, too, isn't it? So we've been dealing here with this COVID thing, and then, if that wasn't enough, then we start having all of this social unrest, all of these things going on in our streets. And it's been hard, hasn't it? It's been hard for us to watch that. As people who love people and care about people, want what's good and right and best, and love so many of the things that are wonderful about our nation's heritage, it was hard to see all of that going on in our streets, though, too, wasn't it? And so we're trying to work our way through all of that. How can we be better than we are, but not tear down and destroy everything that is great about what we have, though, too? So we've been working through all of that. And then if that wasn't enough, then I don't know if you knew this. Apparently there was an election, I hear. What was it, November 3rd or something like that? There was an election day, right? But yeah, so we went through the campaign, and once upon a time, actually I still am a little bit of a political junkie. And I've had to kind of pull back a little bit. I've told you about that. I'm constantly watching the news and politics and debate. You know, it just came this point where it's just like, you know, this is just so depressing, isn't it? It was so depressing, all that. But going through this election and then watching that, the returns coming in, and you know, some people very happy by them, others very upset by those results, or the apparent results, I guess I should say, at this point, right? We're still technically not at the end of it yet here. But, you know, here we are, we're dealing with the aftermath of that and all of the anger and turmoil that so much of that has created. And then if that wasn't enough, now what? Now we're dealing with COVID, the sequel. Actually, not so much a sequel, it's the same thing, but it's just coming back with a new vigor and a new force, isn't it? It's forcing us to rethink some things, make a few adjustments here at the church as well in what we're doing. And so we wonder, man, where is this all going? You know, it's been quite a year. But I wonder, as you think about these things that we've been going through, maybe you are one of the people who lost your job through this. We did have some in our church who did lose their job or lose work or have a considerable slowdown. Or maybe you've had someone, you've been ill. We had someone in our church family who was diagnosed with COVID. We have others that we've been so concerned about in our church family with this. And just this sense of loss of connection with one another that I think, frankly, maybe we took for granted, right? I wonder, though, how many of you have thought in all of this, and I'm speaking to myself as well, okay? How many of us have thought in all of this to give thanks? Have you thought about that? Giving thanks to God? Well, I want us to consider that today and next week. You know, normally, and here's something you can give thanks for. You know, normally you only get one Thanksgiving message a year, which is wrong. We should have more of them, right? But we have Thanksgiving coming up before too long here. But this year, you're getting two Thanksgiving messages. Can we get a thank? Can we give thanks for that? Isn't that great? There you go. Right. So, because I think it's so important. And I think it's something that we need to hear more often. about giving God thanks. So before we look at our text here today on giving thanks or thanksgiving, got a little pop quiz. I want us to test ourselves here. See how thankful you are. How thankful am I? Didn't you love that when you in your school days? Some of you still love that. Well, actually, you don't really get to go into class as much as you used to, right? But some back in the days when you could actually go into class, and maybe sometimes the teacher would declare, pop quiz, right? Test you on something to see, have you learned? Have you learned? Well, I've got a little pop quiz for us. I'm going to ask you 10 questions. It's a gratitude quiz to see how you're doing on Thanksgiving, being grateful. So I'm going to ask you these 10 questions, and the answer is going to be either A or B. So if you have a piece of paper, you can write down A or B. If not, use the finger method, okay? And what I want you to do is if your answer is A, take one, there, yep, that finger. Yep, my answer is A for that. Yep, that one. And so just do that. So you can write it down or just do, if your answer is A, use your fingers for these 10 questions, okay? So here they go. Do you, number one, do you more often, A, remember God's blessings in your life, or B, forget them? Do you more often, A, remember God's blessings in your life, or B, forget them? Question two, when things don't go your way, do you typically respond, A, in gratitude, or B, by grumbling? When things don't go your way, do you typically respond A, in gratitude, or B, by grumbling? You know, I'm happy to say my experience here in the church, I have seen everybody without fail, when things don't go quite the way they want, they've always responded in gratitude. There's no grumbling ever that I have seen in this church. Okay, that might be a little exaggeration there. No, we do, right? So what about you? When things don't go your way, do you typically respond in gratitude, A, or B, by grumbling? Number three, do you see Thanksgiving as A, and not the holiday with the turkey, okay? Just Thanksgiving. Do you see Thanksgiving as A, an essential spiritual rhythm for Christians? Or B, something that's great to do when you remember it, but unnecessary? So is it A, an essential spiritual rhythm, or B, something that's great to do when you remember, but it's not really necessary? Four, would you say that you tell God thanks, A, daily, or B, less than daily? A, daily, B, less than daily. Next one, would you describe yourself as more often A, content, or B, discontent? More often, A, content, or B, discontent. Next one. As you go throughout your day, do you usually A, have eyes open to reasons for giving thanks around you, or B, not see many things to give thanks for? So A, are your eyes open for reasons to give thanks, or is it B, you really don't see many things to give thanks for? Next one. Do you tend to rehearse, A, God's generosity and goodness, or B, what seems unfair? Do you rehearse? That is, are you working through this in your mind, thinking about this? Do you rehearse, A, God's generosity and goodness, or B, what seems unfair? Next one. When you see things that others have that you don't, do you A, rest in what God has given you, or B, struggle with jealousy? The script writer or the quiz writer, whether it should be envy, not jealousy. But you know me, how I'm always going off on these the correct meanings of words. How many of you are grateful to have a pastor that gets hung up on the correct meaning of words like that to the extent that I do, right? So I'm going to correct the writer of this quiz. When you see things that others have that you don't, do you A, rest in what God has given you, or B, struggle with envy? Next one. If you were to list reasons for gratitude, would it be A, a long list and easy to come up with things to give thanks for? Or B, a short list and hard to think of many things? So when you're thinking of those things, is it easy for you? A, you can come up with all kinds of things. Or B, it's kind of hard to do that. Can't think of many things. And last question then this. When circumstances are difficult, by the way, this is a free preview. This question is a free preview for next week's sermon on this. 14, or 10 rather. When circumstances are difficult, do you A, still find things to be difficult or things to be thankful for, or B, stop giving thanks altogether? So when things are hard, do you A, still find things to be thankful for, or B, just stop giving thanks altogether? Okay, so you've got that all totaled up. Maybe you've written it down, or maybe you've been using the finger method here. You've got that number. All right, so for your A answers then, you had 10 questions. Here's what it says. If you answered A 5 times or fewer, then grumbling likely feels more natural than gratitude for you. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot here and ask you to hold it. Who are our grumblers here? Do we have any grumblers? All right, we've got a couple of honest people here. All right. So that 5 or fewer times, well, my friend, you are a grumbler, and you need to hear what we're going to say here today. If you answered A more than 5 times, but less than 10 times, then you likely practice giving thanks with some regularity, but you know that your heart often strays toward ingratitude or grumbling. So you know, yes, you do give thanks, but there's definitely some room for some improvement there. Well, if you answered A 10 times, I like the way he puts this here, if you answered A 10 times, well, then you're either an expert who has mastered gratitude or you lack self-awareness, all right? So we may have some experts here, but I suspect we may have some delusional folks who lack self-awareness here on some of this here. So there's our pop quiz for today. How'd you do on your gratitude test? Are you grateful or are you a grumbler? Which is it? Well, today we want to look at this theology of thanksgiving. Our text is going to be in Psalm 107, verses 1 through 9. Today, looking at a theology of things, just some general overview of what Scripture says about thanksgiving and why we should give thanks. Next week, then, we're going to focus in on giving thanks in difficult times, giving thanks in all circumstances, not just when things are going well or what we think is well, but in all times, even when it's hard. You know what I think is, who thinks it's even more important to give thanks when things are not going so well than when they're going well, right? I think it's even more important giving thanks when things are difficult than when things are easy. But for today, then, this theology of thanksgiving. And here is the main idea I want us to take away from this here today. Gratitude, this giving of thanks, gratitude is an important spiritual discipline that blesses the heart of God and benefits the people of God. So it's a spiritual discipline, giving thanks. It blesses the heart of God, and it benefits the people of God. Now, how many of you are grateful to be back to simple main idea statements again, instead of ones that take 4 screens to go there? Okay, we do have some grateful people here. And I have you know, I have a friend at home. Her name is Mardell. We all call her Marty. Marty might be watching. Well, she watches every week, and she might be watching right now. And Marty has been faithfully memorizing all of those main idea statements through our Zeitgeist series. How many of you believe Marty when she says that, when she makes that claim? None of you? I didn't either, really. But anyway, but I believe her when she says she's going to memorize this one. And I know you will, Marty, because we can do this one. In fact, I think we can all memorize this one, can't we? Gratitude is an important spiritual discipline that blesses the heart of God and benefits the people of God. So we're going to look at Psalm 107. We're not going to read the whole psalm, but just verses 1 through 9. Before we read that text, a little context for our text. First off, this psalm is a psalm that was written after the exile. That is, when the people of God were returning to the nation, to Israel, after being in exile in Babylon for some time. It is a psalm that recalls and gives thanks to God for who He is, for what He is, and for what He has done for His people. It's kind of a history of the nation. And you know, God called His people out of slavery in Egypt. He led them through the Red Sea on dry land. And then He provided for them in the wilderness. For 40 years, He faithfully provided for them there. And by the way, why were the people in the wilderness for 40 years before going to the Promised Land? Grumbling, ingratitude, right? They rebelled against God. They weren't thankful for what God had done. And so because of that, they didn't go right into the Promised Land right away. They were in the wilderness for 40 years. How many of you have spent a little time in some wilderness wanderings, right? I have too, right? And again, what was the key? Why was the reason? Well, they weren't grateful. They grumbled and they rebelled. But nevertheless, God provided for them. He could have just let them be right there. They could have just all died off in the wilderness. But He didn't. He provided faithfully for them. How many of you are grateful for God's mercy and grace? I am. So He provided faithfully for them. And then they went into the Promised Land. They inherited all that God had promised for them. And of course, they were just all so grateful then. And everything was great then, right? No, what did they do? They continued, though, to rebel against God, His goodness and His blessings. They continued to rebel against Him. But did God give up completely on them? No, He blessed them even then. And He would send deliverers for them to deliver them from their enemies and from the consequences of their own sin and rebellion. But yet He warned them, though, too. He warned them faithfully that judgment was coming. People didn't listen. But eventually, after hundreds of years of warning, judgment did come on the people of God. And they went into exile. First the northern kingdom by the Assyrians in the 700s BC, and then the southern kingdom of Judah to Babylon in the 500s BC. God had warned them, and the time finally came. But even there, did God forget about His people there then? No, He didn't. He brought them out of exile, brought them back into the Promised Land. And so now this is a psalm of thanksgiving to God for His faithfulness to them. It rehearses here then the history of God's people. But one prominent theme in this is, yes, it's giving thanks to God, but especially then for what God has done for a people who are oppressed and in darkness, as they were, not because of God's fault, because of their own fault. Listen to what he says here, Psalm 107, verses 1 through 9. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. And let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man, for He satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul He fills with good things. I want us to reflect on three ideas here in this text here for today. First off, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. What does it mean when the scripture says that the Lord is good? Well, first off, it's a reference to God's good character, his holiness, his righteousness, that he is a good God. Boy, now there's something right there to be thankful for, isn't it? Imagine a God who has the power that God has the knowledge that God has, but wasn't good. Or maybe was good today, but who knows who you're dealing with tomorrow, right? But no, God is good. He is holy. He is upright. He is just. But also, though, he is merciful and he is gracious. So, have you ever thought about that? Give thanks, for the Lord is good. You know, one of the things that we do in giving thanks, we give thanks for who God is, not just what God has done, but we give thanks for who God is, that he is worthy of giving thanks and praise. And so we give thanks because he is good, he's righteous, he's merciful, and he's gracious. And he is always good. There's a song that's saying, God is good when? All the time, right? Oftentimes, you know, I'll text someone, they'll be telling me about something, and I'll reply with, God is good, and lots of times they come back with what? All the time, right? All the time. You know what? There was a time when I didn't really understand that or appreciate it as much as I do now. And I have to be honest with you and tell you, I'm still in process of learning to appreciate that all the time. But God is good all the time, even when we don't see it, even when we don't understand what's happening, even when maybe we do understand, but we still don't appreciate it, right? Well, what do you mean by that? What do you mean you do understand, but you don't appreciate it? I'm talking about we see the difficulties and challenges that we're facing in life, and we understand that, you know what? God is working in this for good, that for the good of that person, for the good, for my good, for the good of our church. And I know that, I get it, but you know what? I kind of don't appreciate it as much as I should. Why? Because I just want to get through it. I just want to get to the blessing of having been through it and not go through it. And that's when I need to remember God is good all the time, and that it is a reflection of his goodness then that, yes, he allows or even places us in difficulty and challenge, right? Not in spite of the fact he's good, but because he is good, he does this. God is good. The Lord is good. The other thing I want us to see there is that the Lord's steadfast love endures for how long? Forever. Are you grateful for that? That God's love, his steadfast... If something is steadfast, it means what? Rock solid, not going anywhere, right? God's love is rock solid, and it's not going away. It endures forever. Are you grateful for that? Can you imagine if what if you knew that, you know, that God loves you, has blessed you today? You know, tomorrow we might think differently. What if God was like people? Are there people in our lives that, you know what, they love us today, they're doing good for us today, but you know what, tomorrow, who knows? They may feel differently. You know what? God never feels differently about you, and he never acts differently. Now, when I say he never acts, what I mean is he always acts consistently with his steadfast love. Now, it may mean that, yeah, we're in a season of discipline, but it's precisely because his steadfast love endures forever that he disciplines. You know, I think it says somewhere in Scripture that when we are being disciplined, we can even rejoice in that. Why? Because we know that like a father who disciplines, if God didn't discipline us, it would be evidence that he really doesn't love us, right? The Lord is good, and the Lord's steadfast love endures forever. Final point I want to see us in the text here is the Lord has blessed troubled souls. The Lord has blessed troubled souls. And read through it, we see the history of the nation there. How they had wandered in the desert, but now they were coming to a city of blessing, a refuge. And I think that we as New Testament believers, we can relate to this, that some of us, we've been wandering in a desert. We've been wandering in a wasteland. But we're going to come to a city. Right now, we're living in the suburbs of that city. But we're still not all the way in that city. How many of you know what city I'm talking about? I'm talking about New Jerusalem. And the wonderful teaching in the book of Hebrews and in Revelation, right, that God is making all things new and his dwelling place will be with man. And so we're waiting. We're waiting to get to that city, that place of eternal blessing and joy. But in the meantime, he has refreshed our souls here in the desert land. He has blessed troubled souls. Mine is one of those troubled souls that has been blessed. How about yours? I want us to reflect a little bit, then I'm going to call this a theology of thanksgiving. Very, very brief overview of what Scripture says about giving thanks. One of the things that Scripture tells us is that when we give thanks, what we're doing is we're giving. To give thanks means to give praise and honor to God, no matter what, for who he is and what he has done and what he has promised, right? So thanksgiving, it's giving praise and honor to God, no matter what, for who he is, what he has done, and what he has promised. We thank him just for who he is, his nature, and his character. We thank him for what he has done, especially for in Christ. There are many, many reasons to give thanks, but supremely for the redemption that we have in Christ. But also then for what he has promised, that in one sense our redemption in Christ is full and complete. There's nothing to be added to it. But in another sense, though, we have not received all of it yet, have we? We need to wait. And we wait patiently with hope then. So thanksgiving, when we're giving thanks, it means we're giving praise and honor to God, no matter what, for who he is, for what he has done, and for what he has promised. The Old Testament, they would give thanks offerings. You know, there were a number of offerings that they would come, and if one had sinned and it was an offering for forgiveness or for cleansing, maybe it was an offering, though, too, for thanksgiving, for the harvest or for God's blessings in some way, they would come and give an offering of some kind that was specifically for thanks, to praise and honor God for who he is, for what he had done. So there was these individual thanks offerings one could give. When we come into the New Testament era then, we see then that we don't go to a temple in Jerusalem and give a thanks up on an offering on a table there. Now, where do we bring our offering? What is our offering now and where do we bring that to? The back table, that's right. Rich is right. Yeah, you bring your offering to the back table. That's right. Okay. So, well, that's your offering for the church. Well, but it's really for God. But no. So that's one kind of offering to bring, right? No, but no. What do we bring? We bring the offering of ourselves. We are the sacrifice. We are the living sacrifice that we bring and offer to God. And where do we do it? Here? Sure. At home? Sure. Everywhere, right? So we don't go to a place, the temple in Jerusalem, and offer up a sacrifice of thanks there. We, every day, offer up the sacrifice of ourselves, our lives, wherever we are. A sacrifice of praise, of thanksgiving. Again, we give thanks for who God is, for what he has done, and for what he has promised. But here's the thing that I want us to understand today too is, have you ever thought of Thanksgiving as a vital part of an intimate relationship with God? You know, it's not an afterthought. It's not, well, you know, it's like, I'm trusting in the Lord. I know I have hope in Him, but giving thanks and rehearsing that daily in our mind is a critical element of intimacy with God. The theology of Thanksgiving, you see, because Thanksgiving then, it honors our God who is worthy. You know, it's often been said, we use that term worship, comes from an old English word, worth-ship, which means worthiness, that we're acknowledging the worthiness of God to receive what? Our all, but to receive our praise, our thanks, our heart's affections and devotion, acknowledging all of that, who He is, what He's done, what He's promised. Worship is worth-ship. It is acknowledging God's worthiness to receive our all. So Thanksgiving then honors our God who is worthy. You know, I've told you before, you know, I think a great study can be is just to do a study on the attributes of God, the characteristics and nature of God, what God is like. You know, that God is holy, God is just, God is merciful, God is gracious, God is eternal, God knows all things, God can do all things. You know, all of those things, just reflect on those and honor God for them, praise God for them, and thank God for those. There's a classic book by J.I. Packer called Knowing God. There's a wonderful review of the characteristics or attributes of God and how then and why we should be thankful for that and how we praise God in that and how those things apply to our daily lives. So we honor God who is worthy. Also then, do you know what? It blesses the heart of God. Thanksgiving blesses the heart of God. What does that mean by that? You know what? It pleases Him and it brings Him joy. Do you think God is pleased when we give thanks to Him? Is his heart touched by that? Sure is. How many of you have had the experience where maybe you've done something for someone, and maybe it just wasn't one thing. Maybe it has been a lifetime, even in some cases, of where you have been doing something for someone, and they just don't appreciate it at all. But you know what? But you keep doing it because you do love them, and you care for them. But boy, doesn't that bless your heart, though, when you've done something, and you're doing it out of love, but then when that person recognizes that and appreciates that and gives thanks to you for that, doesn't that bless your heart? Absolutely. So do you think it blesses God's heart when we give thanks for who He is, for what He's done, and what He's promised, what He's going to do? Yes, it does. So Thanksgiving, giving thanks, honors our God who is worthy. It blesses the heart of God. And finally then, here's the other thing. You know what? It benefits the people of God. It brings benefit or blessing to you and me when we give thanks. How does it do so? Well, you're going to have to come back next week for that one. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, about giving thanks when? When things are going well? Yeah. When we're happy, yeah, but also when in all circumstances, when it's not going so well and we're not happy. In fact, maybe we're suffering even. Thanksgiving benefits the people of God. Stay tuned for more to come on that. One final thing I want us to think about then today is the discipline of gratitude. How many of you just love that word discipline, right? You know, we don't, right? Discipline means doing something even when you don't want to. But you do it anyway. Why? Because you know it's good for you. It's good for others. And so there is a discipline of gratitude that we need to incorporate into our lives if we haven't already. You know, the scriptures speak of a number of disciplines that are healthy for us. Bible study, right? Take reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God is a critical spiritual discipline, isn't it? Prayer, communicating with God, talking with God, listening with God, also a vital spiritual discipline. Worship, that doesn't just mean Sunday morning here. It's a way of life wherever we are, right? That's a vital discipline. Service, using the gifts and abilities that God has given us to serve people, that is a vital spiritual discipline. Stewardship, that is managing well our time, our talents, our treasure, a vital spiritual discipline. Evangelism is a vital spiritual discipline. Have you ever thought of gratitude as a vital spiritual discipline? It is. Giving thanks in all circumstances is a tool God uses to benefit us, to bless us, to grow us, to make us more like Jesus, and to make us more effective for service in the kingdom. You know what? I've had to learn this one, and I'm still in the process of learning. There was a time in my life when I did a whole lot more grumbling than giving of thanks. I was more of a grumbler than a grateful person. Gratitude is a critical spiritual discipline that not only benefits us, but it brings joy to God's heart. It blesses God's heart. So what? What do you want me to take away from this? Well, this simple, easily memorizable, is that even a word? I don't know if it is. Easily memorizable. Gratitude is an important spiritual discipline that blesses the heart of God and benefits the people of God. So I want to close this out here by way of application by asking one simple question. Do you choose grumbling or gratitude? Now, all of us have chosen grumbling, I know. And all of us have chosen gratitude too, haven't we? The question is which direction is your heart going? Which direction is your life taking? Are you moving more and more to a life of gratitude or more and more toward a life of grumbling? You don't want to be a grumbler. You want to be grateful. So do you choose grumbling or gratitude? Choose gratitude. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, we do give you thanks and praise here today, Lord, for who you are, that you are the sovereign God, the infinite God, the eternal God, the all-knowing God, the all-powerful God, the righteous God, the holy God, the just God, the merciful God, and the gracious God, and the faithful God whose steadfast love endures forever. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you are the solid rock, a solid rock that never shifts or changes. We give you thanks for who you are. We give you thanks for what you have done. Lord, would you open our eyes to see all, even at times, and especially in times like this, would you open our eyes to see all the blessing around us and all the blessing that you have given us, and to give thanks for that, supremely the blessing of Jesus Christ and our eternal hope in him. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for him. We give you thanks and praise for our hope in Jesus, for what you're going to do, that you are going to complete our salvation. You're going to make us perfect in your presence. You're going to raise these mortal bodies and make them transformed and glorious, resurrected bodies. And you're going to make all things new. And we will live and rule and reign with you forever and ever. Thank you, God. We thank you for that. Lord, teach us to be grateful people, not grumbling people. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.